Ready to find your next favorite podcast? Start here.
And then the capping victory was I went blind in my left eye because I had a tumor in my eye and I had to get radiated. So I was like hospitalized and sick.
First of all,
and,
can you just stop complaining?
Right, exactly.
You're such a complainer. Fuck.
No, exactly. I still managed to drive everywhere.
Duke presented white nationalism as an ideology of fairness. He argued that Black Americans were getting special privileges on the job market and in government contracting, and that it was time for someone to stand up for white people's interests.
You wouldn't happen to remember O'Toole, would you?
Who?
O'Toole. Played for Cincinnati a few years back.
O'Toole, Cincinnati.
Find your new favorite podcast today with samples from Dying for Sex, Slow Burn, and O'Toole from Moscow. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Each week, we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here Blast email at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us an Apple Podcast. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. With special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and curation, writing, and producing from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. For most people, if you're lucky, sex and disease are two areas of life that don't intersect. But when Molly is diagnosed with terminal stage 4 breast cancer, she decides to do something bold. She leaves an unhappy marriage and embarks on a series of sexual adventures as she tries to feel alive while coming to grips with death. Join Molly and her best friend and host Nikki Boyer on the new podcast Dying for Sex for a firsthand look at the wild escapades of a woman with nothing to lose. Through poignant conversations, reenacted journal entries and text conversations, and even interviews from people on the receiving end of her sexual exploits, Nikki and Molly craft a beautiful, hilarious story of friendship, death, and what to do in the time you have left. Don't let the title fool you. Dying for Sex is a podcast full of emotion, love, and life lessons, and you'll be dying for more. Here's a little teaser from the first episode of Dying for Sex, titled Happy Endings. The episode sets the stage for Molly's remarkable journey from dejected cancer patient to adventurous sex expert. In this clip, she recounts one of her early stories when an in-home massage takes an unexpected turn.
3 years ago, Molly was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. Since then, she's been in and out of the hospital. Chemo, radiation, a double mastectomy, the whole buffet, as Molly calls it.
And then the capping victory was I went blind in my left eye because I had a tumor in my eye and I had to get radiated. So I was like hospitalized and sick.
First of all, can you just stop complaining?
Right, exactly.
You're such a complainer. Fuck.
No, exactly. I still managed to drive everywhere. That was 2 months.
I think they call that gallows humor.
That's not safe.
I know. I shouldn't even say that.
Molly and I use it a lot. They say laughter is the best medicine and all that. We've cried together a lot, too. But when Molly learned she was terminal, she made a decision. If she only had a few years to live, she was going to experience life in a completely new way. And it was going to be epic.
You got a massage.
So I have this amazing friend, and she did a lot of research on a reputable in-home massage place,
right?
You know, so I was like, oh, you know, maybe I'll just, you know, I'll get one of these massages. I feel horrible, but maybe, you know, somebody can, like, my legs felt stagnant. I thought maybe somebody could loosen up some of the stagnation.
I get that.
Yeah.
All right. So talk me through what happens.
Well, so I get on the table and he's rubbing my legs and my arms, and he's actually doing a fantastic job. He's really intuitive, really good massage therapist. It was great.
Right.
Like, I felt like very met therapeutically.
That's great.
Yeah. My eyes are closed and I'm thinking, like, I feel like there's some pressure happening in the boob area, and I'm almost positive the blanket is no longer on my top at all. But I'm not sure.
Were your eyes squinted really hard? Like, I'm not gonna look.
Well, I think at that point I was in my head and I was like, if this is the case, do I need to set a boundary? And so I was like, started this dialogue with my body.
Okay.
Like,
good. You're good at this.
I was like, yeah, I'm good at that. And my body's like, nah, you know what? Let's follow this thread. He's kind of intuitive. He knows what he's doing. Let's see where this goes. So, I opened my eyes. Yes, top was gone.
Right.
Hands on boobs. It was fantastic, though.
But didn't you feel like at that point, I remember you saying like, I just feel like my body needs to be touched.
It needed to be touched. It was great. But I, yeah, so anyway, so his hand was there and I was like, I know that.
Where
know,
it's going.
Yeah, I know where it's going.
And you were okay with it.
I was okay with it. And like, but at one point I was like, I need to acknowledge that I know that he knows that I know that we all know what's going on. So I go, I sounded like a prepubescent boy. I was like, no, I'm not expecting this, you know. Like, I think my voice might have cracked at some point.
I'm not expecting this,
you know. I'm not expecting this, you know.
And what did he say?
He was like, yeah. He's like, yeah, but I just, there's this energy that's calling me. And I was like, cool, you know, pick it up. Pick up the phone.
From the podcast Dying for Sex from Wondery, you can hear more of Molly's hilarious, inspiring, and steamy stories on Dying for Sex. Available now on WVXU's Start Here podcast collection. Now in its fourth season, Slow Burn has become a staple in the world of podcasting. After exploring some of the biggest stories in American culture, the Watergate scandal, the impeachment of Bill Clinton, the murders of Tupac and Notorious B.I.G., Slow Burn has now set its sights on an even darker spot in Americans' political history. His name is David Duke. And in the late 80s and early 90s, the white supremacist and former head of the KKK rose to political power, gaining a seat on the Louisiana House of Representatives. So how on earth did a Klansman and Nazi sympathizer convert himself into a mainstream figure and convince thousands of voters to embrace his message? And what did it take to stop him? Find answers to these questions and many more indictments of the American political system on the newest season of Slow Burn, hosted by Josh Levin. Here's a sample for you from the first episode of Slow Burn's fourth season titled White Knight. The episode examines Duke's comeback plan, which brought him from retired professional racist to a viable candidate in the race for control of the state of Louisiana.
Duke presented white nationalism as an ideology of fairness. He argued that Black Americans were getting special privileges on the job market and in government contracting, and that it was time for someone to stand up for white people's interests. Here's Quinn Hillier, a Republican who supported Duke's opponent, John Treen.
When he did talk about race, it was never about doing anything to Blacks. It was always about protecting whites. Psychologically, for a lot of voters, these distinctions, subtle distinctions, are important.
Duke didn't only talk about race. One of his biggest issues was property taxes. He vowed to keep them low, to protect what he called hard-working, productive, middle-class people. This was the plan Duke had laid out to Evelyn Rich and the neo-Nazi Joe Fields. He was trying to bring new people in, to win over voters who didn't identify as white supremacists. To understand the district where David Duke was running, you need to know about the most powerful man in Jefferson Parish. He was a Chinese-American sheriff in a cowboy hat, and his name was Harry Lee. Here he is in a 2006 interview with NPR, a year before he died.
The sheriff of Jefferson Parish is the closest thing there is to being a king in the United States. I have no unions. I don't have civil service. I hire and fire at will. In other words, I don't have to go to council and propose a budget. I approve the budget. I am the head of the law enforcement district, and the law enforcement district only has one vote, which is me.
Lee was a fun-loving autocrat. At Mardi Gras, he threw Harry Lee dolls from a float that featured an enormous likeness of his own face. The sheriff spent $80,000 on that float, which he saw as money well spent. Every year, he said, my big fat head's coming down Veterans Highway. And a million people see it. Harry Lee was born in New Orleans in 1932, in the back room of his family's laundromat. A bunch of Lee's constituents in Jefferson Parish had relocated from New Orleans, too. One of them was David Duke, who moved to Jefferson in the 1970s. White New Orleanians went to the suburbs in search of bigger houses and lower tax bills. They also wanted to get away from Black people. Here's former New Orleans Mayor Mark Morial. His father was the city's first Black mayor.
What they were doing was getting away from integration, fleeing what they thought the city of New Orleans was becoming, which was a city which was more racially diverse and where African-American numbers were increasing and African-American influence was increasing.
As the population of Jefferson Parish swelled, Harry Lee presented himself as the guardian of the suburbs. He'd make sure that Metairie felt like a safe haven for white people. The sheriff faced a big test in 1986 when the parish was hit by a string of armed robberies. That December, he proposed a solution to the crime wave, racial profiling.
We will be stopping more black people in predominantly white neighborhoods. And I don't know how to say it other than that we're going to do it.
If you live in a predominantly white neighborhood and there's two black males in a car right behind you, there's a pretty good chance that they're up to no good.
The executive director of the Louisiana ACLU called Lee a despicable bigot. Protesters descended on Jefferson Parish, demanding his resignation and chanting, "Harry Lee and the Klan go hand in hand." Lee walked back his plan, but he didn't resign.
From the fourth season of the podcast Slow Burn from Slate, hear more from unbelievable and upsettingly recent rise and fall of David Duke on Slow Burn. Available now at WVXU.org. Click on the podcast section and look for the Start Here podcast collection tab. On to our local podcast spotlight today. On December 12, 1955, at the height of the Senator Joan McCarthy-led Red Scare, NBC aired O'Toole from Moscow, an hour-long TV drama written by Twilight Zone creator Rod Serling. In it, two disgraced Soviet officers fleeing punishment back home find themselves by chance in Cincinnati and end up accidentally trying out for the Reds. The comedy aired once and was never recorded. But now, thanks to the keen research of Cincinnati Public Radio's Media Beat reporter John Kieswider, the production has been resurrected. With a copy of Serling's original script, voice acting from some talented students at the Cincinnati Conservatory of Music, and Rod Serling's daughter Anne serving as narrator, O'Toole from Moscow has made its triumphant return to the air and the podcast library. Now taking the form of an hour-long radio play, O'Toole from Moscow provides some hilarious, valuable insight into the culture and politics of the time. Serling, a Reds fan who began his career in Cincinnati, has finally made it home. Here's a small sample clip from the new adaptation of O'Toole from Moscow, featuring the voice of Anne Serling.
Today we travel back through time, a journey into the wondrous land of the imagination. Our first stop, Gabe's Dugout Bar. My father called it a typical small town run of the gin mill. Gabe is behind the bar, watching a baseball game on TV. Here's how my father set the scene. One customer at the bar, a guy in a wrinkled cotton suit, heading into his sixth gin and tonic. He puts his glass down, blinks a couple of times, looks up at the TV, narrows his eyes, and tries to focus.
What's the inning?
Top of the fifth.
You know who the greatest hitter in the National League is?
There are a bunch of good ones.
Nope. Only one really great hitter. Just one. Ted Grant. Duke Snider. Yup. Duke Snider. Maybe Mays second. Maybe Musial third. I don't know. Lots of good ones. Plenty of good ones.
You wouldn't happen to remember O'Toole, would you?
Who?
O'Toole. Played for Cincinnati a few years back.
O'Toole, Cincinnati. Nope. That one escapes me.
He only played for 3 or 4 weeks.
Flash in the pan, huh?
You might say flash in a pan. Didn't play very long. Batted over 400, though. This kid was good.
Flash in a pan. That's what he was. 3 weeks? How are you going to tell if a guy's good if he only plays 3 weeks?
He'd have played longer if he could have.
Why couldn't he?
Kind of a long story.
I got plenty of time. Give me another drink. You tell me a long story.
There were two guys, you see. One's name was O'Toole, the other's name was Mushnick.
Mushnick. That's some name. O'Toole and Mushnick.
Both of them worked for the Soviet embassy in New York.
Russians, huh?
Yep. O'Toole, the big guy, he was a chauffeur or something. And Mushnik, he was some kind of secretary. I guess it all came to head one afternoon at the embassy when Mushnik's boss got sore. At least, I guess that's the way it started. Anyway, it was quite a few years ago in the Soviet-Russian delegation at the UN.
Our local production, O'Toole from Moscow, from our Cincinnati Public Radio. Hear the whole story right now, courtesy of CPR and CCM on O'Toole from Moscow. Available on WVXU's Start Here podcast collection or on the WVXU app. Before we wrap up today, let's take a look at the podcasts that are making waves around the nation on the Apple Podcast Charts via iTunescharts.net. Two new podcasts, actually one new and one old, are climbing into the top five this week. The first is a new one. It's called Smartless, hosted by Jason Bateman, Sean Hayes, and Will Arnett. It's a podcast that connects and unites people from all walks of life to fill you with laughter and newfound knowledge and make you less smartless. The other podcast running up the charts isn't new at all, but it's hitting a newfound popularity. It's called This Is Actually Happening. It's about the uncanny, extraordinary, true stories that have dramatically altered the lives of ordinary people. A son is shot by his own father. A woman's sister develops multiple personalities. A man wakes up in the morgue. These are riveting, moving, and often haunting stories. This Is Actually Happening. Headed up now on the Apple Podcast Charts. To learn more about these podcasts and the others we featured today, check out the Start Here email. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and choose the Start Here newsletter from lower down on the page. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more about other podcasts we like, check out the Start Here collection at wvxu.org. It's our new specially curated collection of podcasts we think you might enjoy. Plus, check out the local podcast collection, podcasts created right here in Cincinnati by our local creators. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@wvxu.org. I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.